Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledge my sins unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sins. For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee in time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Father in heaven, I thank you today, Lord, just for being able to come before you. For this is a day that the Lord has made, a day that I can rejoice and be glad. And Lord God, I just thank you today for showing forth much mercy and kindness, Lord God, unto your people. But Lord God, we can rejoice in that we are saved, Lord God, because you sent us a perfect sacrifice that he might lay down his life as a ransom for many. And Lord God, I just thank you today, Lord, for the joy that you give, for the love that you show, for the redemption, Lord God, that came through the blood. Lord God, I pray and ask of you, Lord, in Jesus' name, that you will remember all of your people one by one and name by name. I pray, Lord, that you would meet the needs right now. Meet those, Lord God, who are in distress. Help those, Lord God, who are crying out and in trouble. Lord, I pray and ask of you, Lord, that you would lift the bowed down head and that you would mend the brokenhearted, that you would let people know, Lord God, that they can make it. They are not alone. Lord, you promised never to leave us nor to forsake us, but to be with us always, even unto the end of the world. We thank you, Lord God, that because of the blood of Jesus, Lord God, our sins are forgiven. Because of the blood of Jesus, our yokes are destroyed. Because of the blood of Jesus, light prevails over darkness. Because of the blood of Jesus, Lord God, we have been redeemed from the hand of the enemy. We thank you for his blood that he shed for us. Lord God, that we can lift up our voice and bless you. Lord God, that we can lift up our hands and praise you. Lord God, that we can open our mouth and just say thank you. Lord, I pray and ask of you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord God, that you would speak to every heart and mind on today. Lord God, encourage every heart and mind on today. And let them know that through God they can make it. And Lord God, as we go forward in your word, I pray, Lord God, that it will fall on good ground. Lord God, meet your people at the point of their need. Encourage souls, encourage hearts. Lord God, give them the mind and the will to do. Help them, dear Lord God, to make that determination, Lord God, that they want to make it. And I pray and ask of you, Lord God, in Jesus' name, that above all, Lord, you would be glorified, that you would be magnified, that you would be lifted up on today. Oh, Lord God, in the eyes of your people, and let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Oh, Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' mighty and precious name. And Lord, we say amen, amen, and amen again. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord God, we give your name the praise. Amen. You are just so worthy. Hallelujah. And amen. Praise the Lord. Everybody. Amen. Everybody ought to praise the Lord. Amen. When you think on the good things that he has done and all the promises, amen, that he has kept, amen, praise God, you ought to just lift up your hands, amen, and lift up your voice and just say, thank you, Jesus. Amen. I greet you in love and in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Just so happy to come before you. Amen. Once again. Amen. The lesson text of today's message is found in the book of John, chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. And we will speak from the subject, there is redemption for all. Amen. There is redemption for all. Every one of you who are listening. Amen. Right now. John chapter 8 verses 1 through 11 gives an account of a woman that was taken in adultery. Beginning at verse 1 in John chapter 8, it reads, Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery, in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? In other words, what do you say? It is noteworthy to mention that at the time of Christ's birth and throughout his ministry, Israel was still under the law. When it was reported that she was caught in the act of adultery, according to the law of Moses in Leviticus chapter 20, verse 10, both the adulterer and the adulteress must be put to death. And the manner in which both parties were to die was by stoning. So here we have the ever so righteous scribes and Pharisees, air quotes, seizing the opportunity to put someone's sins on full display. The fact of the matter is that they had sins of their own, but nowhere throughout Jesus' ministry did you hear them confess the sin and corruption that they were concealing. And even today, there are people who are quick to out other folks' mistakes or stand in judgment of others when they are nowhere near perfect. And sometimes the mistakes that they have made in their past are far worse than the people that they judge. And I'm certain that you have encountered someone in your lifetime that can be compared to a mirror that faces outward. And they see what's wrong with everyone else, and never once will they turn the mirror towards themselves and acknowledge that they are not altogether lovely. Always ready to point out someone else's flaws and imperfections. But Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 1, judge not, that ye be not judged. The people that you judge may have skeletons in their closet, but don't forget that the Lord also knows how many bones that you had in your possession and exactly where you buried them. Jesus continued on saying in Matthew chapter 7, he cautioned against judging others. He said, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured unto you again. He said, and why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considereth not the beam that is in thine own eye? In other words, what gives you the right to talk about the splinter that is in your brother's eye when you have a full-length tree limb coming out of yours? And I don't know who I'm talking to today, but y'all better stop playing. Amen. We are all wretches undone. And even if you are saved, it is not because of any good thing that you have done, because God is the only good thing, amen, that you have. So here the scribes and the Pharisees wanting to bring this woman to Christ, seeking an indictment. And they sat her in the midst of the simile for all to see. And what I don't understand, you know, is that it takes two to tangle. And they, according to their law, the adulterer and the adulteress, amen, were to be stoned to death. Amen. But it seemed just a little bit biased, amen, that the man was not present as well. And you know, I find, you know, in society, amen, women are quick to be judged, you know, for sleeping around. You know, she's called a whore and such. Amen. But men, they could sleep with 100 women and no one says a thing. But I want you to know, amen, praise God, that you're not any better than the women you sleeping around with. Amen. If you want to call a woman a whore, guess what? So are you. And we'll just call you a man whore. How about that? Amen. John chapter 8, verse 6 reads, "This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not." There was nothing hid from the Lord that had not been revealed. He knew that the scribes and the Pharisees' modus operandi was to set him up in such a way that he would stand accused, or to ask him a question that would put him in a catch-22 situation. If Jesus was not in favor of punitive actions, he would have been accused of rejecting the law of Moses. If he would have consented to the woman being stoned, then he would have been accused of violating Roman law. At that time, Israel was under Roman rule, and the Romans had no concern for violations of Jewish law. And it was not typical for the Roman government to allow the Jews to exercise any judicial power. The method that Jesus chose to use was silence. And the word says he stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground, turned a deaf ear, and acted as if he heard nothing they said. From this example, we learned that it is always best to think twice before we speak. James chapter 1 verse 17 says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." There will always be people who will try to rile you up or anger you with their words. But when you exercise self-control by holding your tongue, that is a demonstration of wisdom. Solomon wrote in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 28, "Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding." So what does that tell us? As the saying goes, you don't always have to clap back. The scripture says in verses 7 and 8, "So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Now, since there is no mention of exactly what Jesus wrote, in my opinion, it is not for us to take the liberty to assume, speculate, or create an explanation for something that cannot be verified. But in the statement that followed, he gave them a pause for thought. Here Christ avoided the snare which they had laid for him. He neither disregarded the Mosaic law or offended the Roman government. Instead, they were forced to appeal to their own conscience whether they were fit to prosecute the woman or stand in judgment against her. Even today, when we read this account, it also gives us a pause for thought when we should likewise look at others indifferently. We encounter people from all walks of life who engage in all kinds of unlawful activities. Some of us have family members that are so out there from our point of view that every time you look at them, you have a massive eye roll. But those of us who are saved and have been delivered from the sins that kept us in bondage are a living testament of God's power to transform. We can use ourselves as the first point of reference that our condition did not dictate our end. Likewise, when it comes to unbelievers or unsaved folk, we must have the ability to see with the eyes of compassion. When you do this, it will help you to look past all that you see and understand what you see is not the finished product. What you see is not the end of the story, because God is able. When the disciples asked Jesus, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus said, "The things which are impossible with men are possible with God." In Luke chapter 1:37, he declared, "For with God, all things are possible." To the alcoholic, to the drug addict, whoremonger, or the backslider, I say to you, you are not so out there that the Lord cannot save or deliver you. As it is written in Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear." Your condition does not dictate your end. When the Lord looks on you, he sees your potential and what you are able to become. He does not see as man see. You might be down and out today, but the Lord is able to lift you up to where you belong. This is why Jesus reiterated more than once that with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Nothing is beyond his realm of possibility. He can deliver you. He can set you free. He can destroy the yokes. He can loose you so that you no more captive to the enemy or his devices. Amen. Saints of God, this also serves as a reminder that we are not in the position to look down on anyone or determine who can or cannot be saved. Just remember the state that you were in before the Lord saved you. And my go-to scripture on this subject is always Titus chapter 3, verse 26, because it is well said and eloquently written. These passages of scriptures remind every believer, beginning at verse 2, it says, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawler, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which is shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The same God that showed us kindness, love, and mercy has no respect of persons. So the family members that you roll your eyes at every time you see them coming has the same chance that was given to you, which is to be saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Glory to God. There is redemption for all. So getting back to our scripture text in John chapter 8, in verse 9 it reads, and they which heard it, being convicted in their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. The question that Jesus asked must have pierced their very conscience. If there be any of you who is without sin, or any of you without sin of this nature, that has never been guilty of fornication or adultery at some point in your life, then cast the first stone at her. Listen, whenever we find fault in others, the one thing the word will do is cause you to reflect upon yourself. So those who heard were convicted in their conscience and were forced to accept the harsh reality that they were no better than she was. And one by one, the word of God says that they all, amen, began to walk away. At the conclusion, the scripture says in verse 10 and 11, when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, no man, Lord. And the Lord said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. It was at this point that her sins were forgiven, and she was set free. She was free from facing capital punishment, and most importantly, free from eternal punishment. But the liberty and freedom that she attained was contingent on one thing, that she returned no more to the sin that she was delivered from. Jesus said, go and sin no more. Don't go back to the sin of adultery. Don't go back to the lifestyle you used to live. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. When the Lord sets you free and you go back, it puts you back in bondage. So if you are free, then stay free. Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. He wrote in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. In closing, the purpose for which God sent His Son into the world was that we might be saved. And guess what? He is still in the saving business. Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 17, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. So no matter what your condition is, how low down you think you are, the Lord is not so high that He cannot reach down and pull you out of that low place. There is redemption for all, but it's up to you to seek the Lord with your whole heart. Repent of your sins. Don't be so proud that you cannot confess your sins and ask for forgiveness, so that you can enter into the joy of the Lord. Walk in liberty and live a Spirit-filled life. There is redemption for all. When Jesus laid down His life, you were included. When the Lord set in motion the plan of redemption for all humanity, you were included. Glory to God. So you have a right to the tree of life today. Amen. If you would confess your sins, that's when you'll understand that the Lord is faithful and that He is just to forgive us of all of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You can be free today. Amen. He's not condemning you. Jesus wants to save you. And that's why He's letting you know that there is redemption for all, no matter what you have done, no matter what skeletons you have hidden. He sees all anyway, and He knows all anyway. Praise God. But He's here today with open arms, ready to give you a chance. So I pray that you would receive the word of God and accept the olive branch that He is extending to you, and accept the invitation to come and reason with Him. Praise God. Your sins might be scarlet, but guess what? When you come to Him and just lay it all down in front of Him, amen, fall on your face and just say, Lord, here I am, standing in the need of prayer, standing in the need of help, standing in the need of deliverance. He will wash you. He will cleanse you. Amen. He will make you whiter than snow. Praise God. Jesus is your Savior. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And there is redemption for you today. There is healing for you today. Praise God. He has no respect of persons. Amen. There is redemption for you. Amen. So come on today and take a chance and let him do it. Amen. Amen. And amen. God bless you. Heaven smile upon you. Amen.